Word this morning. Here we go. Got about 20 minutes to get in the Word. Let's see what we can find. It's a little series called On the Shore, Jesus Meeting People. And by the way, guess where you live near? The shore. People everywhere. Everywhere around here. Why do people come to Florida? Because of the water. Amen. The water, the sun, the shore. That's where they are. A lot of people are still in the middle. I understand that. They tried to recreate it in Orlando. They ain't done it. Amen. Some girl told me yesterday, "Take me off. I'm moving. I don't like Inglewood. It's boring." I said, "Don't talk about our town." You understand? Going to Orlando. I said, "Oh, so you're going to Fantasy Lands. Where are you going?" I said, "You're going to miss the beach." She said, "I'm going to miss the beach." I said, "Yeah, but you can sit by a man-made pond they got over there." And she said, "I can get by the pool." I said, "Well, yes, you can. Hey, I'll take the beach." Amen. Wouldn't you say? Come on, don't trash our town. Have you lost your mind? Amen. Here we go. On the shore. Let's go with the message this morning. Here we go. Here we go. Some boat tripping with Jesus from ship to shore. Say boat tripping with me. Boat tripping. Jesus loved the water. Spent most of his entire ministry around the Sea of Galilee. And here's the big Mediterranean Sea up there. But he didn't spend a lot of time around the Mediterranean Sea. It's like years ago. When people started Inglewood years ago, did you know what? They didn't build houses over on the beach. You don't see many historical homes over. Do you ever think about that? Say, where are all the historical homes on the beach? They're not there. You know where your historical homes are? They're along the bay. They're on this side. Because people, I mean, they might go over there, but things were different. The life was on the bay, Lemon Bay. It's where their fishing was. Did you know there used to be a big old casino in Inglewood? Stuck right out on the water. Go down the end of Dearborn, hang a little right. It stuck way out in the water. Burned down around the turn of the 1900s. Somewhere in that zone, or maybe 1920. Somewhere in there, just burnt down. But, I mean, it was all about the bay. Lemon Bay. Why is it called Lemon Bay? And Grove City. And things like that. What's called the Lemon Groves. And Grove City down here. All the lemon trees and orange trees. Inglewood was known for the bay. You understand? Say, not really for that beach. And that's sort of the way it was in Israel. And that was life centered around the Sea of Galilee. It's sort of confusing because it really wasn't a sea. It's only 6 miles wide and 13 miles long. It's shaped like a harp that you play. The Sea of Galilee is shaped like a harp. And I've been there many, many, many times. I'd like to take some tours there again. But I've been there a lot of times. Beautiful. That's where life was around that bay. The water flows into that, not the bay, into that little lake. It's called Lake Gennesaret, or the Lake of the Lord, or Sea of Galilee, or Lake Kinnereth, or Chinnereth. It's got so many different names. The Jordan River flows into the top, and it flows out of the bottom of it, and goes on down and dies in the Dead Sea. And so that was the water source. So life was around there. There's a special fish that you can catch out of the Sea of Galilee. It's called St. Peter's fish. How many have ever been there and eaten that fish? There you go. Amen. I'll take our fish. You know what I'm saying? It's all that. You go there and go, "Oh, St. Peter's fish. Let's have my okey-dokey." Brother, when you've had snook and redfish and grouper, are you talking to me? And trout and flounder. Let's go get some St. Peter's fish with the eyeball looking at you? I don't think so. Amen. Was the eyeball looking at you? Remember that? Yeah. Sea of Galilee. He met people. Let's talk about it. Move it forward. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship. If you see ship, it means boat. With his disciples. He called his disciples last time. Remember, where did he meet them at? Somebody take a wild guess. By the shores of what? Galilee. And he said unto them, "Let us go over on the other side of the what?" So about how many miles would they have been going? 6? Look at you. And they launched forth. And Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." And we're just going to walk here and talk a little bit. If you're boat tripping with Jesus, you must believe, say it with me, that he's going to do what? Listen, he's going to get you there. If you go boat tripping with Jesus, he's going to get you there. Amen? Just trust him. Does the life always look good when Jesus is with you? Not necessarily. Things can get rough. That's what happened with these boys that day. But as they sailed, he fell a what? Sleep. It's a pretty good little journey across that thing. He's sleeping. I remember years ago when I'd take my son Mitch, and Elise, of course, but we'd go on boat trips, and Mitch, man, he'd fish and fish and fish and fish and fish and fish and would not let up, He would just go. But when we were done and we're coming back, it was like 2-3 minutes, boom, he's asleep. He just lay right down there and didn't matter if it was bumpy, he'd be sleeping. I'm talking the front of a little boat. Jesus fell asleep, no problem. There came down a storm of wind on that lake, and they're notorious for that. And they were filled with water. So water's coming in the boat. That's a problem. And they were in jeopardy. When they came to him, they woke him up. I mean, water's coming. He's still sleeping. Stuff don't bother him like it bothers you. You understand that? Yes or no? If you could remember that in life. And they said, Master, Master, we perish! And then he arose, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they what? And there was what? And he can do that in your life. How many of your life was tumultuous? It was crazy. Life was nuts. Stuff was going on. And you didn't think you could make it. But you hung in there. You walked through it anyway. God was with you. And there's a calm in your life now. Can I see some encouragement today? There's a calm in your life now. He still does that. He still works with people. Both the wind and the waves were calm immediately, and He can do that in your life. He said unto them, where's your faith? You listening? Hey, baby doll. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, say this last part with me, what manner of man is? For He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. All right? So that's just a little preview. That's not the message this morning. It's pretty good, though, isn't it, say? Right there. From ship to shore, Jesus has a mission. It's all about people. He loves people. Jesus loves people. Amen? Fellowship Church is about loving people. Did you know that? Yes or no? It's what we're about. Okay? If you're going to be rude, you're going to be insensitive, you're going to be mean to people, you're welcome to change, but if you're not willing to change, then you're not welcome here. You understand? Yes or no? Okay? We're on a mission here to love people. Okay? And that's what Jesus was all about. Yeah, we know. Along the beach you get all kinds, don't you? Absolutely. Had a guy the other day come up to me after church service. Tattooed from the top of his head down to the sole of his feet almost. Never seen anything like it. Piercings all over. You know the first words out of my mouth to him? And I'm from Rockingham, North Carolina. You don't get more southern than me. You understand? You don't see no tattoos on me, do you, say? But you know my first word out of my mouth to him? And I thank God it was him speaking through me. You're welcome here. You're welcome right here at this church. You're welcome right here. Okay? And then I went on to say this. If for some reason somebody doesn't make you feel welcome here, you come and let me know about it. Because you're welcome here. Amen? Yes or no? Listen, this ain't a holy huddle where we get people together that just look like us, act like us, think like us, and we're just going to huddle together like a football team. Now, I wish we could get the Minnesota Vikings to get some players like that could think together and be together and play together. I understand that. But at church, it's a tapestry. Amen? Say. And we welcome people. We love people. Amen? So anyway, he's all about people. So he's on a mission. What happened when they got to the other side? Here we go. Got about 15 minutes. And they arrived at the country of the, say it with me, Gadarenes. Come on. The Gadarenes. So across the lake, 6 miles, is some mountains. You got Syria right in there, and Jordan. You got Jordan. Golan Heights is up here. This is actually Jordan when you look across. That's Jordan. This is Israel. 6 miles, that's Jordan. Gadara. Little town called Gadara, which is on the other side. Now, for years I went to Israel, and you can't get to Gadara. Why? Because there's this big fence at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, the lake. There's a big fence the Israelis put up. And that's a no man's zone right there. So you can't go there. How many ever went to the Sea of Galilee and you sort of stopped in the middle? Remember that? You sort of stopped in the middle. You didn't go all the way to the... Now, you went up to Cana, remember? And places like, but you didn't go over there. You stopped in the middle and you had a service or something. Okay? Why didn't you go over there? Because you can't. It's a military zone. I've been blessed to be there. I traveled with the country of Jordan one time. They invited Baylor University over, and I went to with several people from Baylor University. And with only about eight of us. It was the April after 9/11. Nobody wanted to go that part of the world. They said free trip. I went, hello. Anyway, by the government, special treatment, I went. Amen. But they took us to Gadara. Because I was in Jordan, they took us all the way up because it was the government. And I got to see the excavations they were doing of Gadara. It was beautiful. I loved it. I'd never seen it from that side. That's where he was. He went forth there, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had what? Devils a long time. And he wore no clothes. That's a sight. Neither did he have a house, but he lived in the what? In the tombs. Jesus really cares about people, doesn't he? Here's a naked man full of the devil. Doesn't he live in a house? He lives in a graveyard. But you won't talk to your neighbor because he doesn't look like you. Have you been smoking something? Or are you crazy? Say, listen. Everybody deserves a chance at our love. Amen? To love on. I know it's hard sometimes. We're raised a certain way. I was raised in the Deep South. Segregated. That's not God's way. Are you listening or not? It's not God's way. God's way is to love us, to love each other, to care for people. And this is a great example. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before him. And he said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. He was full of devils. For he had commanded the unclean spirit. Jesus had already seen him, had already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. I mean, he got out of the boat, saw the fellow, he's already caring for him. You understand? God didn't have to beg him. People shouldn't have to beg us to love them and to care for them. That ought to be an outpouring of our filling of the Holy Spirit inside. So unclean spirits were in this man for caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. It's a wild man. And he broke the bands. He was driven of the devil into the wilderness out there to Gadara. Not just any town. It's way, you can't get no further out of Jordan. On that side. Jesus started speaking to him. Speaking to this man. Speaking to what's inside of him. He said, what's your name? Speaking to the demon. And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into this man. You might say, I don't believe people can be full of the devil. You're crazy. Have you listened to our world and looked at our planet lately? Say, the crazy things people do, the violent crimes, station, the murder. Are you kidding me? You don't think people are full of the devil? You don't think this world needs a savior? That doesn't happen just in New York City, by the way. Happens all around us. People need the Lord, man. And they besought him, these devils besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. I guess into the abyss, into the pit. And their herd of pigs feeding on the mountainside, going down to the lake. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into pigs. Craziness, isn't it? Isn't that a crazy story? And he said, sure. Hey, Jesus did that. Jesus can talk to the devil. Amen? Ain't a problem. Oh, you want to go into pigs? Good. Not a problem. Amen. And then went the devils, listen to me. Then went the devils out of the man, entered the swine. Now, wait a minute. Jesus didn't have a problem with that. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake. And they were what? I love that. I love that. Listen, that's the kind of God I've got. Amen? I don't care what it is in your life. You can overcome. Jesus Christ can come into your life, and the devil can go out of your life. You listening or not? Amen? You can be changed. He loves you that much. He cares for you. This is Jesus meeting people. Have I bored you to tears? This is Jesus meeting people. Bad people. Fishermen, not the best of the best, but he said, boys, you follow me and you can be the best of the best. Amen? Here he meets a guy like this. And we're going to see a little something, a little twist of this story. Actually, it wasn't one, there was two. Say two with me. There was two. You might say, Pastor, why do you think there's two? Because there's another scripture over in another book that talks about this trip, and there was two that had devils. When you're reading the Bible sometimes, I don't want to get into this a whole lot. You need to have absolute confidence in the Bible. If you read somewhere and it says one guy, and there was one, and just one guy, and then somewhere else in another book it says there was two, guess what? Don't start doubting your Bible thinking the Bible's got all kinds of mistakes. The Bible doesn't have all kinds of mistakes. That's craziness. You listening or not? I'm not going to believe like that. I'm going to have faith in the Word of God. I'm absolutely going to believe what I see in that book. Amen? So I'm going to use the sense God gave me to make sense of what I read. So here's the sense of what that situation is. I believe there were two. Okay? But a lot of times, have you been somewhere and there was maybe three or four or eight people, but the sight affected all eight of them, but you honed in on one of them and you told the story of how one reacted? Have you ever done that before? That's how the writers sometimes in the New Testament give us the stories of the Word. Does that make sense to you? So instead of doubting your Bible or arguing, if people want to argue with me about the Bible, any time on it. Fine, you don't want to believe it? Have that? Great, go ahead. For me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I like it. Amen, say. Okay, somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you just dream all that stuff? I'd say, yep. Let me dream on. Amen? I sleep good at night. Amen, come on. Matthew, and when he was come to the other side of the country of the things, same, Gadara, there met him how many? Two possessed with devils coming out of the what? Exceeding fierce that no man could pass by that way. So I believe there was two that met him with devils. Keep looking. And they were pitiful. They were naked, living among tombs. They were violent and dangerous. They were terrorizing the neighborhood. They were controlled by a legion of demons. A Roman legion could have 6,000 soldiers. Can you imagine 6,000 demons being inside of one person? And Jesus cared for him. Amen? But we're not going to talk to somebody because they got purple hair. Or tattoos. You understand? Yes or no? Or a piercing. Did you know, I go to Bonefish Grill, and I've got so many friends up there in Sarasota. Just good people. Many of them come to church here. I was able to lead one girl there recently to the Lord, and she has a piercing in her tongue. Ouch! You know why I don't get that stuff? Because I don't like pain. But you know what? I've seen just the light of the Lord come into her life. And I was there the other night. I was actually having dinner with a beautiful young lady, and this lady came over and sat at our table. And just talked with us and had such a nice time. We shouldn't discount people for something. You hearing me or not? Have I lost you? Why am I preaching this stuff? Because we live along the shore. There's people here. Go get them, man. Love them. Satan is a thief. He'll rob you of everything good. He'll try to destroy your life. That's what he's doing with people. The thief comes not to steal, but to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life. I'd have it more abundantly. That's why we live along this shore. That's why I've stayed here all these years. Did I stay here because of the water? I like the water. I've stayed here because of the people. It's not a problem for me to defend this town. You understand? I love it. I love being a defender of Englewood. I love this town. I love Lemon Bay High School. I love the different things we got going on in this community. Are we perfect? No, we ain't perfect. Amazing how happy you could be here if you start to think that way. Hello, say. Amen? Plus, it's where my daughter was born. How many were born in Englewood? Can I see your hands? You're born right here in Englewood. Darling, you're it. No wonder I love this town. They can all adopt you, can't they? Amen, if need be. Here we go. Nothing can restrain, control, or change the devil's servant. Only Jesus. Amen. That's why we're important here. We have a mission here. It's huge, man. From ship to shore, we're about done. I got a couple of minutes. The demons believe. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that He has authority to command them. James says, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devil's what? Also believe and tremble. Because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can go out and you can touch anybody. You can reach anybody. You can go anywhere and you can share Christ with anybody. The greater is He that's in you than he that's in them. You understand? Not a reason in the world you can't have that kind of witness and compassion. The devils believe in a future judgment. Behold, they cried out saying, what do we have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the what? Before the time or before the future judgment. The devils believe in hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell. A lot of Christians don't believe in hell. But the devils do. Listen. And they besought Him that He would not command them to go out into the deep or to the abyss or to hell. I guess they believe in prayer too, demons. Since they asked Jesus to send them into the what? Pigs. They actually besought Him to do that. They must believe in prayer, that God can answer prayer. Are you at least a devil level? Say devil level. Devils believe more than some Christians do. Men are more important than pigs. And we're done with the message, Raj. We don't have a lot of time. There's more stuff you can find that we put together. When they that fed the pigs saw what had happened, they fled. And they went and told it into the city. And into the country. This made news. Then they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus. And they found who? The what? The man. The man that Luke's writing about. Out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Say this. Isn't this beautiful? Clothed and in His what? Come on, one more time. Clothed and in His what? Come on. How many would say, Pastor Clark, I used to be not really well clothed or in my right mind, but Jesus came into my life. Can you give Him some praise this morning, a little testimony to the Lord? Amen. Come on. Here's this guy sitting clothed and in his right mind. Why in the world would we not take Jesus to our community when people can be clothed and in their right mind? Amen? It's good stuff. And they were afraid. Who was afraid? The people, the community. They were afraid, not because He's running around terrorizing the neighborhood anymore, but because He'd been changed. How many had family? You came to Christ and all of a sudden they thought you were a freak. See what I'm saying? Now some of you are. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They also which saw it told them what means that he was possessed and he that was possessed that the devils were healed. They told him how it happened. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And He went up into the ship and He returned back again. This is sad. Listen, pack that up one more time. Men are more important than pigs. These people that have been feeding the pigs, and they go back to the owners of the pigs and things like that, and word gets out that Jesus has healed this guy, and the pigs ran down the mountain violently and died and choked. So what are they trying to get? Who are they trying to get rid of? Somebody take a wild guess. Jesus. Because He's affecting their pocketbook. People are more important than pigs. I'm going to say something to you, church. People are more important than your pocketbook. I wish some of you would catch the vision that people really matter. And if $20 is all you can do to help us build that building debt free, then great. Thank God for it. But if people really matter more than pigs and more than your pocketbook, why don't you really step up to the plate and show it? You listening, yes or no? Okay? Hey, a lot of us have given our lives for this community. This is how much we love this community. Okay? I'd like to get more and more and more of you on board that would say, you know what? I have a calling in my life. I have a purpose in my life. This town really matters. These people really matter. I'm going to live like it, act like it, give like it. You understand where I'm coming from, yes or no? Listen, men are more important than what? Pigs. The Bible goes on to say, and I'll finish with this one, Raj. I'm done with this last scripture. Men are also more important and better than sheep. How much then is a man better than a what? What does that mean? Men are just more important than stuff, aren't they? Say. Men really matter to the Lord. So anyway, he met. What happened here? We're done with the story. Well, the man was healed. Read it sometime. Jesus left. The man stayed. He told his family what had happened. Jesus passes back that way again. And guess who comes out to meet Jesus? Somebody take a wild guess. The whole town. The whole town came out to meet Jesus. The one they had run away for taking their money. The whole town came out to meet Jesus because they saw the change in that man's life. And that was incredible. And they wanted what he had. Amen? So that's us along the shore. It's not just good enough to tell them now. They got to want it. They got to want what we got. Amen? And the beautiful thing is when bad stuff happens in your life and they can see that you're making it, that you can still smile, that you can still keep going, I'll tell you what, they're going to want what you got. Amen? Get out there with the people. If I could give one bit of admonition to pastors. Pastor Lindo's here today, retired many years serving Jesus, heads up our radio station. Pastor, if I could tell pastors one thing, I would say get out of your office every day at noon. Get off your butt. Quit eating your little snack in your office. Get into a restaurant. Get out there and meet the people. Hang out at McDonald's. Go somewhere at Mama's. Get over here at Farlow's. I'm not bragging on me, but that's exactly what I do. A, for two reasons. One, I love to eat. But B, guess where the people are? Somebody take a wild guess. Are they in my office? Say, get out there where the people are. Go to ball games. Support your local schools. Get out to community events. Wear a t-shirt. Put on a hat. And be ready always to give an answer to any man that asks of the hope that's in you. Amen? Along the shore. Let's thank the Lord for the word this morning. Come on. Thank you, Lord. You're good to us.